إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, seek His aid, and ask His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the consequences of our evil actions. And we seek refuge in Allah from that which is in ourselves. مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهِ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهِ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهِ Whoever Allah chooses to be guided, there is none who can misguide him. And whoever Allah chooses to be misguided, there is none who can guide him. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهِ I bear witness there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone and He has no partners. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the worshipper of Allah and His final messenger. أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ حَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ Thereafter, the best of speech is the Book of Allah. وَخَيْرُ الْهُدَى هُدَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ And the best of guidance is the guidance of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَإِنَّ شَرُّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا And the most evil affairs are those matters which people have innovated and introduced into Islam. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ Every innovated matter is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is misguidance. And every misguidance only leads to the fire. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا O people, fear your Lord, the one who created you from a single being. And then He created from that single being His wife. And then from both of them, He sent forth many men and many women. So fear Allah, the one from whom you demand your mutual rights. Fear Allah regarding your arham, regarding your relatives, and your ties of kinship, and your family. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا Because Allah is always watching over you. عِبَادَ اللَّهِ قَدْ مَدَحَ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ فَحَسَبْ بَلْ يُسَارِعُونَ إِلَيْهَا عباد الله الله جل في العلا He did not praise those people who only do righteous deeds. Rather, He praised those people who are quick and rush and hasten to do righteous deeds. So whenever there is a season of goodness, days of righteousness, days of piety and taqwa which are coming, then the believers whom Allah has praised are those people who rush and hasten to those days. And they prepare for their coming. And Allah said in the Quran, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ Be quick, rush to the forgiveness of your Lord. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضِ And rush to the paradise of your Lord, which is as wide as all of the skies and the earth. أُعِدَّتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ And this forgiveness of Allah and this paradise, it has been prepared for those people who have iman in Allah and His messengers. And how does a person rush to the forgiveness of Allah? By doing righteous deeds. And these righteous deeds, they bring about the forgiveness of Allah. Allah said in the Quran, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ And hasten, be quick to the forgiveness of your Lord. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And rush to the paradise of your Lord, which is as wide as the earth and the skies, prepared for the people of At-Taqwa. So this rushing and hastening and being quick and racing towards the forgiveness of Allah, it is racing towards the pleasure of Allah and the paradise of Allah. And this is done by a person traversing every avenue which brings about the happiness of Allah, making tawbah and al-istighfar, staying away from sins, being quick to please Allah Jalla fil Ula, being quick to do righteous deeds, always thinking about which actions will please my Lord. When worshipping Allah, worship Allah properly. When worshipping Allah, follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Al-ihsan, showing goodness to the rest of creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned all of this. He said, He praised those people saying, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. They believe in Allah, they have iman in the hereafter. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And they call to that which is good. They forbid that which is evil. وَيُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. And they are quick to do righteous deeds. أَيُّهُ الْإِخْوَةِ, in front of you, my beloved brothers and sisters, are some great, magnificent days which are coming. And now, if I am correct, it is the 26th of Dhul-Qa'dah. Meaning, in the next few days, 4 or 5 days, the blessed, sacred month of Dhul-Hijjah will start. And these days of Dhul-Hijjah, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, they make up a season of goodness, days of blessings, days of forgiveness, days in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with His people. And these are called Ayyam al-Ashr min Dhul-Hijjah, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned many distinctions regarding these 10 days. So from the virtues and the distinctions of these 10 days is that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He took a qasam. He took an oath. He swore by these 10 days. Why? Tashreefan laha. To show how sacred and honored and noble these 10 days are. Allah said in the Quran, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. He said, I swear, I take an oath by the Fajr, the dawn. And I take an oath by the 10 nights. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum and many of the Mufassirun, Ibn Kathir mentions, they said, Layalin Ashr, ay Ashr dhil Hijjah. That these 10 nights are the first 10 days and 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah. Also, from the virtues of these blessed days, there's brothers who are reading Quran in the khutbah, and this is incorrect. If you're reciting the Quran, then the Quran should be put away. Dhikr is stopped, tasbih is stopped, talking on the mobile phones is stopped, and a person only listens to the khatib. Also, from the virtues of these 10 days is that any action which is done in these 10 days is greater and more beloved to Allah than all of the other days. Meaning, a person prays 2 rak'at in one of these 10 days, the reward is greater than any other day. A person gives £1 in charity in these 10 days, it is of more value and more reward with Allah than any other day. A person fasts in one of these 10 days, the fasting is greater with Allah than any of the other days apart from Ramadan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهِ. There are no other days in which righteous actions أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِي الْأَيَّامِ in which righteous actions are more beloved to Allah than these days, i.e. the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. The companions, they asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, walal jihadu fi sabilillah, even al jihad fi sabilillah, meaning a person does righteous deeds in these 10 days. Another person, he goes out for al jihad fi sabilillah in the other days. Are these days still greater than the one who did that? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he replied, walal jihadu fi sabilillah illa rajulun kharaja bi nafsihi wa malihi wa lam yarji' min dhalika bi shay. He said, even al jihad fi sabilillah, except for a person who leaves by his own self and he takes all of his wealth with him and then he does not return. From the great virtues of these 10 days which are coming up is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He specified these days for the great worship of Al-Hajj. And they contain many great days. So for example, from the days is Yawm At-Tarwiyah. And Yawm At-Tarwiyah is the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, in which our brothers and sisters from the Hujjaj, they leave Makkah and they go towards Mina. And from these 10 days is Yawm Arafah. خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the greatest day, Yawm Arafah, the greatest day in which the sun has risen. In these 10 days is Yawm al-Nahr, the great day of the slaughter. Or Eid al-Adha, the day in which an animal is slaughtered for the sake of Allah. In these 10 days, our brothers who have left from our communities, they go out calling to Allah, affirming their tawheed. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. From the virtues of these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah is that any sin and any oppression which is done in these days is more severe and more hatred by Allah than any other day. And Allah said in the Quran, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ, that in these days, in these 10 days, do not oppress yourselves. Do not oppress yourselves by sins and by innovations and by disobedience and oppressing each other. Also from the virtues of these 10 days is that all of the great acts of worship, the ibadat, they have been combined in these 10 days. There's Hajj and Umrah. There's Salah and Sadaqah. There's Siyam. There's Quran. There's Qira'ah. There's Tilawa. There's Al-Dhikr. There's Dua, Al-Istighfar. All of these have come together in these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So if these are the virtues of these 10 days which are coming up after only 4 or 5 days, then every person, every Muslim who wants goodness for himself, he has to ask himself, is he prepared for the coming of these 10 days? What is he going to do in these 10 days which he does not do in the other days? In his eyes, are these 10 days going to be equal to all of the other days in which he wastes his time and he's negligent of Allah? Or will he prepare himself for the coming of these 10 days? Ayyuhal ibad, if we know the virtues of these 10 days, then upon us is to prepare ourselves. Prepare our families, our children. Remind each other, prepare the masjid for the coming of these 10 days. And a person makes a determination to make more ta'ah, more obedience to Allah than all of the other days of the year. And shaitan should not distract a person or make a person lazy. And there are a number of ibadat and different types of worships which should be done in these 10 days. The first of them is fasting. That from these 10 days, the 10th day is the day of Eid, so the first 9 days a person should fast. And this is something which the Muslims have been doing since the time of the Sahaba alayhim ridwanullah. The fuqaha and the ulama and the ubad, the righteous, the scholars, the salaf, They used to fast these 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Also, reciting the Qur'an. Making more and more recitation of the Qur'an. And if a person was to strengthen his determination and had a strong ambition and a high aspiration, then he could finish the whole Qur'an in these 10 days. 3 juz every day. Each juz is only 20 pages. Meaning if you recite just a few pages before every prayer and a few pages after every prayer, then you could finish 3 juz a day. And in these 10 days you finish the whole Qur'an. Also, from the acts of worship in which the reward is increased is giving in sadaqah and helping the poor and the needy. Also, for a person to guard his prayers and to pray in jama'ah and to pray on time. And also the sunan. This is the fara'id, also the sunan. That a person makes an extra effort. Witr, tahiyatul masjid, sunnatul wudu, at-tahajjud, qiyam al-layl, so on and so forth. And also al-dhikr and al-du'a. And making constant tasbih and tahmeed and tahleel of Allah Jalla fil ula. And this is in all times and all places. In your car, in your house, at work, in the marketplaces, in the masjid. A person being in the constant dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sixth, making at-takbir. And at-takbir, which has been narrated, is saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. In this form, a person making a lot of takbir during these 10 days. And the Sahaba alayhim ridwanullah, they used to make this takbir from Maghrib, the night before the first of Dhul-Hijjah, up until the Eid prayer. In all times and all places. Up until some of them, they would go to the marketplaces and raise their voice to remind the people to make a takbir. And it is mentioned, Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentions in his Sahih, he said, وَكَانِ ابْنُ عُمَرْ وَأَبُو هُرَيْرَ يَخْرُجَانِ إِلَى السُّوقِ. That Ibn Umar and Abu Huraira رضي الله عنهما, they would go out to the marketplace. في أيام العشر, in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, يُكَبِّرَانِ وَيُكَبِّرُ النَّاسِ بِصَوْتِهِمْ. And they would make takbir out aloud, and the people would then be reminded to make takbir because of their voices. And also Maymun ibn Mahran rahimullah, he said, أَدْرَقْتُ النَّاسِ, I came across all of the people, لَيُكَبِّرُونَ فِي الْعَشَرِ, and they would make takbir in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. In this sequence, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Wallahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. And this takbir which is made, it isn't specific for a particular time. Meaning we don't say that after every salah you have to do it 3 times. Rather it is done all the time. And it is done by the men and the women, the young and the old, the elderly and the children, and the rest of the Muslims. And in any situation, whether a person is wudu or not in wudu. If a person is standing, sitting or lying down. If a person is in his car, in the masjid, out at work, then the takbir is made. However, we have to avoid 2 innovations. Firstly, making a dhikr al-jama'i. Everybody making dhikr in one voice, in unison. This is not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yes, the imam can make the takbir loud so people generally follow and are reminded, but not together in a jama'ah in congregation. This was not done by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam or the sahaba, those who came after them. So every person does the takbirat by himself. And some raise their voices and some lower their voices, no problem. Secondly, we don't specify a particular time. So as I mentioned, we do not say that after the fard prayer, make 3 takbirat. And after the nafal prayer, make a single takbir. This is not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. We mentioned in the first khutbah the saying of Allah Jalla fil Ula, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Don't only do righteous deeds, but be quick to do righteous deeds. Rush and hasten to the forgiveness of your Lord, وَجَنَّةٍ, and also the paradise of your Lord. And as we mentioned, this is by a person when days of goodness, days of barakah are coming, then a person prepares for them. So before they come, himself, his family, his community, his masjid are prepared for the coming of these 10 days. And from the great acts of worship which are specific to the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah is Al-Udhiyah, is the slaughtering of the animal for the sake of Allah. And Allah said in the Quran, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. In the surah which all of you have memorized, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. That offer your salah towards your Lord, وَانْحَرْ, and make the nahar. And the nahar is the udhiyah, as Ibn Abbas and others from amongst the Mufassirun have said. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from his actions, is that every year he would give udhiyah. And it isn't something which is wajib, however, it is something which is highly recommended. And it is from the practices of the righteous people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَنْ ذَبَحَ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ فَقَدْ تَمَّ نُسُكُهُ وَأَصَابَ سُنَّةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. That whoever slaughters the animal after the prayer, then his ritual is completed. And he has fulfilled the sunnah of the Muslims. This is the sunnah of the Muslims, slaughtering the adhiyah for the sake of Allah. And there are certain rules when it comes to slaughtering an animal. The first of these rules is that whoever intends to slaughter the animal, then from Maghrib, the night before the first of Dhul-Hijjah, he does not cut his hair or shave his hair or cut his nails. So all of this is done before Maghrib, the night before the first of Dhul-Hijjah. And then after this, a person does not do it up until the Udhiyah has been done. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا دَخَلَتِ الْعَشْرِ, that when the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are about to enter, وَأَرَادَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يُضَحِي, and one of you wants to give the Udhiyah, wants to slaughter the animal, فَلَا يَمَسَّ مِنْ شَعْرِهِ وَلَا بَشَرِهِ شَيْءٍ, then do not touch anything from your hair or your nails. Meaning don't shave or cut or shorten or trim your nails or your hair. And if somebody accidentally he shaved or cut some of his hair or his nail, or even if he did it intentionally, then this is a sin if he did it intentionally, but he makes al-istighfar, he makes tawbah. There's no fidyah, there is no kafara, there is no payment, he only makes al-istighfar. And this is the same for the men and the women. So if a woman wants to give the adhiyah, then the same ruling applies. Also, it is permitted for a man who is the leader of the household, who has dependents, his wife, his children, maybe his parents, that he can make adhiyah on behalf of them. So if he wants to slaughter the animal, when it comes to making the intention, he does it for himself and his family. And they can be alive or they can have passed away from the deceased. So if a person had parents, for example, and he wanted to have a share for them in his adhiyah, then he can mention their name and this is his intention. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he made the adhiyah, he said, Bismillah, Bismillah, Allahumma taqabbal min Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. He said, Bismillah, O Allah, accept from Muhammad and the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if a man, the leader of the household, he's making the udhiyah on behalf of his family, then only he does not cut from his hair and his nails. So this obligation, it does not apply to the rest of his family, even if he is doing it on their behalf. It only applies to him. Also, if there is more than one person, up to seven people, they want to share in a single udhiyah, then they can do so as long as it is a cow or a camel. So if it is a cow or a camel which is being slaughtered for the sake of Allah on Yawm al-Nahr or Eid al-Adha, then up to 7 people can do this. And as for the meat and what should be done with the meat, then the asl is that we slaughter the animal in our communities. This is the asl. Because al-Nahr or al-Adha, it isn't just about charity. But the slaughtering of the animal and the flowing of the blood, this in itself is an act of worship. And also the spirit of the community which it cultivates. That friends and beloved members, neighbors, they give each other meat, and this fosters a good community. However, if it is difficult to do so, then the meat can be sent to other places. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he mentioned that when it comes to the dividing of this meat, then a person keeps a third for himself and his family. And a third he gives to whoever he wants. His friends and his relatives and his neighbors, whether they are rich or poor does not matter. And then the last third he gives as sadaqah for those who are poor. And the ulama mention, even if there is a non-Muslim, and perhaps you hope that by giving him some of this meat he will accept Islam, or he will have a good opinion about Islam, then the meat can be given to him. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma izzil Islam wal muslimin. Allahumma izzil Islam wal muslimin. Allahumma dhill ash-shirka wal mushrikeen. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-huda wat-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. Allahumma aati nufusana taqwaha وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح ذات بيننا وألف بين قلوبنا واهدنا سبل السلام. اللهم بارك لنا في أسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا وأزواجنا وذرياتنا وأموالنا واجعلنا مباركين إنما كنا. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. أقم الصلاة.